Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, brought to you by Breeden RV Center. Breeden RV Center, family-owned and operated, a no-pressure, laid-back atmosphere, and always home of the free maintenance for life.
The Razorback Talk Show, designed for smart fans. This is Ruskin and Zach.
Big one tomorrow in Columbia, Arkansas, and Mizzou. We're going to break it down right now with Matt Zimmerman, who you will hear on this radio station here with Chuck Barrett tomorrow afternoon, starting at 2:30. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Derek? You all right?
Doing good. Always appreciate the time. And I was talking to Zach. We get to talk to you after a win. This is rare for us. So I'm very excited.
I was thinking about this when I was on hold there. I was thinking the last time I may have been on was after the blowouts to LSU and Alabama. And y'all was trying to pin those losses on me, and I was trying to pin them on y'all.
So, that's right.
You remember that when I was like, man, they're wearing me out. I'm not up there.
I mentioned to him, I'm like, what? We pound you with basketball questions. Because, I mean, honestly, you explain it better than anybody. I'm like, what can we get off in the weeds with Coach on? And, you know, it's just going to be basketball questions.
Oh, yeah. That's all right.
I love
the position they're in, Coach, because if they want to improve their seeding, they don't need any help. The schedule is there for them to do it themselves with these last 6-7 ball games.
You are 100% right. And what I love about it is that, okay, we lost 5 ball games, right, and had some good wins. Out of the 5 losses, you can't do nothing about Oklahoma State. Maybe you see them in the NCAAs. They may not even be in it because of their NCAA stuff. They might be in it. Who knows? Tennessee, you can't do anything about that until the SEC tournament if you play them. But the other 3 who beat you, you get a chance to play them again. And I know I worked for a man for a long time. He didn't like to talk about revenge. He just wanted to talk about getting better. And it's not a revenge thing. And, you know, and the players, though, a lot of times it is about let's pay somebody back. They beat us, and let's try to. Now, I mean, coaches are that way, too. But I understand what my old boss's mindset was. We got to get better. We can't get caught up on just trying to pay somebody back. But that's the natural part of playing somebody who beat you. And we get to play 2 of those people in Bud Walton, which is awesome. And then the one that we got to play on the road is the only team that's been to the Bud and win, which is Missouri. And we're catching them at a great time, I think. The Razorbacks' confidence is sky high. That team's going in there feeling good. Lost 2 weeks ago at Oklahoma State. Have won 5 league games in a row, trying to win 6. Everyone's feeling good. And you go to Missouri, a team that was it's probably been a little overhyped. I mean, I don't think a lot of people look at that Missouri team and say, man, that is definitely a top 10 team. And they go to Oxford. Ole Miss is middle of the pack and a pretty average Ole Miss team, and they beat them by over 20. And I think that showed a lot of people, hey, both at times, Missouri can really struggle. They struggled also when they went down to Mississippi the other time to play Mississippi State. And so they've had some games where they've not played well. And so you catch Missouri at a pretty good time. And go in there tomorrow, play well, and, you know, you don't want to go in there and you know, take a step backwards. Do I think Arkansas can win the game? Absolutely, I do. I mean, I just think there's literally no one left on the schedule they can't beat. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win all those games, but I do think that they've got a chance to keep this winning streak going for a while.
From a psychological standpoint, the team's psyche, winning at Rupp, how big a boost or a bounce do they get out of that? And Is this one of those get over the mountaintop wins? Okay, we finally did that. Now we can just go play.
Well, I think so. You know, a lot of these kids, it's a kind of a semi-new team, so none of these guys have been to Rupp, no other than Desi and Ethan, and they went in there as freshmen and lost a close game to a very good Kentucky team. But the rest of the guys hadn't, you know, don't really even have any losses to Kentucky because so many of them are new, you know, and they didn't even play last year in the loss at Bud Walton, so. I don't know, but for them, the confidence level, because they've been hearing about Kentucky since they've known about basketball. And to go in there, and it's not the Razorbacks' fault. Kentucky's not very good. It's not the Razorbacks' fault. It's not the fans' fault. That's Kentucky's deal. Kentucky's just got a team. It's not, they're 5-13. And the Razorbacks did what they had to do, went in, took care of business, and got a win. Now, albeit it looked like it was going to be an 8, 10, 12-point win, and let's have a little fun at the end. But as it turned out, it was just sweat it out and have to make a play and have to get a rebound and have to sweat out free throws, but you win. At the end of the day, you get a big win in there, and because that would not have been a real good loss. You know, Kentucky's not – you don't want to go on the road and lose to a team that's 5-12 at the time, right?
Yep.
And so the Hogs went in there, did what they had to do, and, you know, if we can get A&M twice, you know, A&M's at the bottom of this league. They've not played in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. By the time they play, if they play next week's midweek, there's going to be almost 3 weeks that A&M hadn't suited up in a ball game. I mean, they must be having a lot of issues with the virus. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you still got to go to South Carolina. They're towards the bottom. And then you got, you know, you got Florida. They're kind of middle to a little bit high. And then you got these three games right here that are going to determine our SEC seeding and have a lot to do with NCAA seeding, which is Missouri, LSU, and Alabama games.
We're talking with Matt Zimmerman here on Ruskin and Zach. In these last five SEC games, you know, Arkansas should have won those games, and some people will talk about the schedule they lighten up, but because they maybe flipped some kind of maturity switch or whatever you want to call it, they did take care of their business in those five games, and now, as we've said, the table is set for them down the stretch here.
Absolutely, I agree. When we were talking to you before after the Alabama LSU games, we were talking about that. We all said that, hey, it's set up for them to win a lot of league games in a row here if they just beat who they're supposed to beat. And then if you can somehow beat Oklahoma State, the SEC winning streak is just an overall winning streak. But you lose that ball game, but now you got all these other wins. Five in a row is pretty good in the league. The league is pretty good. Is the league great? No, I don't think anyone's going to say that the SEC is a great conference right now. But you look across the country, guys, and there's not any leagues. Big Ten looks pretty good. You know, the Big 12 at times looks pretty good. But overall, I don't think those two leagues are much better than the SEC. The SEC is about as good as any other league. There's been years you look at the ACC, and you're like, holy cow, the ACC is loaded. Well, they're not. They're not. You know, and the Pac-12 is not. They barely play out there. You know, the Big East is good. And the Big Ten and the Big 12 are pretty good, but they're not a whole lot better than the SEC. So I think the SEC's been getting beat up a little bit about the league not being great. But, hey, we played the Big 12 challenge and won that challenge. No. You know, so I think that you didn't have Texas for a play beat Kentucky, so it probably would end up being a tie. But at the end of the day, you know, the SEC won the challenge. I do think this is a league that's going to make a lot of noise in the NCAA tournament.
Coach, I want to ask you a question. I sort of asked this after the game, and it's more of an analytical question. It's about the analytics of basketball. You're as qualified as anybody to answer this. They're up by 10. Everything is going their way, and I understand the math, and I know what Mus is thinking. But as a coach, does it feel like you sort of take your team out of gear a little bit? They're playing so well, and then you're just going to change the tactics, at the drop of a hat and take them out of what they were doing well?
It's just a great question, and is a hard thing not to do. You know, I know in all the years that I worked with my boss, Coach Anderson, we'd have a lot of big leads, and then you'd be up by 14 points with 5 or 6 minutes left, or you'd be up 10 with 3.5 minutes left, and all of a sudden you just kind of start calling out plays or calling out stuff that kind of bleeds it a little bit more. So instead of taking a quick shot or a fast break opportunity that helps you grow that lead, sometimes you grind it a little bit, and then if you don't score, it puts the pressure back on your defense. In Kentucky, not a good shooting team all year, and they go 14 of 26. And all of a sudden, that lead that you're talking about, 10, 11 points, you look up. I mean, it was stunning that they had the ball down, too. It was stunning that they had the ball and had a chance to tie or take the lead. And I'll be dang, this team that don't shoot it very good runs a good play. They get an open guy, and he drills a shot. And you're like, holy cow, we have led almost this entire game and outplayed Kentucky in every area of this game, and we're down one. And, you know, a couple guys make a play. Devontae pushing the ball up the floor, Jalen Williams made a play by pushing everybody out of the way and boxing out, and Jalen Tate made the biggest play. And at the end of the night, everyone's happy. But, you know, that was a crazy game. You know what I like about that? Kentucky goes 14 of 26, and they lose in their own gym. You know, if you'd have told me before the game, Kentucky's going to go 14 of 26 from elite from the three, I'd have said, uh-oh, that ain't good. That ain't good. I don't know if we can win that game. And still won that ball game. And so, but you're right. You know, you just, Tennessee as a coach, you know, if you get a couple buckets when you do halt it and you slow down what you're doing, then you still win by six or seven. But when you don't get those baskets, next thing you know, the game tightens up. So, you know, it's best if you can just keep your pedal to the metal. Just keep your foot down. Keep playing like you've been playing. Don't even worry about the clock. You just play through it. But that's easier said than done for coaches, and it's easier said than done for players because you do your natural tendencies to be smart against the clock.
Yeah. It just feels like you're working extra hard. Instead of working for the best shot with 35 seconds, you're working for the best shot you can get with 10 seconds.
Right. Well, I do think that you should – the teams that are really good, really efficient at the end of games, you're talking about analytics, the guys that are really good, they're still running their offense hard at the beginning of the shot clock all the way through, even when they're trying to milk it a little bit. And their deal is, guys, because a lot of coaches will say, we'll take a layup or dunk. Other than that, let's eat this 30-second shot clock down to 8 or 9 seconds, and then let's run our play. But the teams that are really good, they'll run that offense looking to score. And it may not be a layup or a dunk. It might be a really good quality, you know, open 15-footer, but there's not 3 seconds on the shot clock. There's 13 seconds on the shot clock. Well, if he misses that wide-open 15-footer that you got in your executed offense and they get the rebound, then you got people like me sitting over there going, he shot it too soon. They should have ate another 10 seconds, you know. But if he makes that shot, you're like, oh, man, that was great. Because now instead of a 6-point lead, you're back up to 8. You know, you about got this thing wrapped up. So I just think it does put pressure on players when you grind it to slow down. You know, obviously if you're up 10 with a minute and 20 seconds left and you get the ball, you need to hold it all 30 seconds. You're right. Up 10. But if you're only up, you know, if you're up 6 with a minute and 20 seconds or up 5 with a minute and 20 seconds left and you get the ball, boy, we can almost wrap this thing up if we can score. But if we don't, then they still got a chance. You know, all of a sudden, you're up 5 with a minute 20, and you eat all 30 seconds left. Now there's 50 seconds left. You shot a bad shot at the end of the shot clock. They get the rebound. Now there's 50 seconds left. You're up 5. They go down and drill a 3. That's what, you know, stuff like that happens. Happened the other night.
Yeah.
So now you're throwing the ball in. Now you're only up 2. And there's still, you know, there's still 30 seconds left or 35 seconds left or 25. That's a different ball game. So, obviously, you want to try to keep your foot on the pedal and try to put these teams away.
Matt Zimmerman's our guest. You can hear him and Chuck Barrett with the call tomorrow on the radio for Arkansas and Missouri right here. And he's joining us on the Ruskin and Zach Show. Let's get into some scouting report stuff here. What is different from your perspective having Justin Smith for this game versus the last one?
Well, it just gives us much better defense. We play better defense when he's in there. We rebound. We're one of the best 2 or 3 rebounding teams in the SEC when he's out there. When he's not, we don't rebound it as well. But he gives us that physical presence. He's 6'7". He's built like a tree trunk. He's strong. He's physical. And he kind of gives – he's not loud. He's not the most vocal guy. But he gives a presence out there that this team needs. And when you're going against a Jeremiah Tillman, then you've got to have that. You know, in that game at home, we play, you know, the non-conference was not very strong, right? Mm-hmm. So we go through the non-conference, and we win all those games, as we should have. And then you go to Auburn and get a great win on the road at Auburn. And you come home in the second league game, and the first play is this ball thrown about 3 feet above the rim. And Jeremiah Tillman from St. Louis goes 3 feet over, dunks the basketball so hard. And then, like, 2 possessions later, tried to bring the rim down again, dunking the basketball. And you're sitting there going, uh-oh, we ain't seen nobody do that this year. We haven't seen anybody do that from the opposing team. We've not. And they kind of punched us in the mouth in that game early. You don't have Justin out there. and backpedaled the whole game, kind of played on our heels the whole game. Missouri comes in here and shocks, I would say, just about everyone and beat us by 12, 13 points. It was very surprising. But this Arkansas team knows about Jeremiah Tillman playing above the rim now, and they know the kind of players that are in the SEC now, and they're much more suited. And what I like the most about this team going into tomorrow is Devontae Davis, Jalen Williams, Moses Moody. Those guys are a whole lot better players now than they were on January 2nd or 3rd. They're a whole lot better players, and I think we'll see that tomorrow. And Missouri's got a good team. They got pretty good guards. You know, inside, they don't have a lot. They do have, I mean, they got Tillman, who's very good. And, you know, but other than Jeremiah, Mitchell Smith gives them a little bit here and there at times, and he's a pretty good defensive player. But, you know, they don't have a ton of forward depth or size depth. If you can get into their bench, I think the Razorbacks will have a really good chance tomorrow.
The guy that I mean, the focus when they were here at Bud Walton was on Jeremiah Tillman, and he had 25 points, and he wound up with 11 total rebounds. But the guy that I thought was the key to the thing was Xavier Pinson, the guard.
Yeah,
he goes for 23 in that game, wound up with five boards, four assists. I mean, he was sort of the engine that drove this thing.
Absolutely, he was. He was. If you think back to that game, they'd kind of get playing a little fast, and Konzo Martin would get yelling, and Pinson would come to a halt. And they'd start eating that clock, what we were just talking about before, and they would grind it out, and he would make a play. He'd go off the dribble. A couple times he drove and lobbed it up. Pinson catch it and dunk. I mean, Tillman would catch it and dunk it. But it was all made by Pinson being effective on ball screens. We had a lot of trouble in that game versus ball screens. And then you go, at other times he's hitting floaters, and here's where he really hurt us on a couple of his assists. He drove in there late. We were kind of trying to cut the lead down, and he'd whip it out there to a Mark Smith or a Drew Smith, and neither one of them played great here. They played okay. But both of those young men made big threes down the stretch of that game, Drew Smith and Mark Smith, and that's what they live on. They live on Pinson setting them up. They both, if they're open, can shoot it. Neither one of them are great at going off the dribble and beating you off the dribble. And so tomorrow we've got to stick out on those two shooters. And let's guard Pinson. I think Jalen Tate will be very motivated because I think he thought, you know, Pinson got the best of me in Bud Walton. And I think Desi and Jano, you know, Desi was like, him, this is the game that him and Connor, one of them was
yeah,
1 for 11 and the other one was 0 for 10 mm-hmm. or something.
Yep, that's
you
right.
Know, they were 1 of 21 combined. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't, you know, Connor and Desi, they're going to be better than that tomorrow. They're not going to be 1 for 21. No chance. And so I just think this thing stacks up. Now the pressure tomorrow, who's the pressure on tomorrow, in my opinion? Pressure tomorrow is on Missouri. And tomorrow the Razorbacks can go in there not feeling the pressure and can go in because it's a road game against a team that a week ago was sitting in this league second by themselves. Now they're tied for fifth, Missouri. You go in there. And no pressure, not as much pressure. The pressure is on Missouri, who just lost to Ole Miss in a blowout. And so keep the pressure on them and find a way to get a win.
Coach, I got a broadcasting question. And like, Ruskin and I do games, and there's like 19 Smiths on Missouri. How are you going to – what's the over-under on how many times you're just going to misidentify a Smith?
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of Smiths. You got a lot going on out there. You got Mitchell Smith, you got True Smith, you got Mark Smith, and you know, Chuck will say that NNC. We have one too.
Yeah.
And you know, so we have a Smith also that could be out there. That happened, it was really funny when we played Auburn, because they had a Jalen Williams, we had a Jalen Williams, they had a Smith, we had Jones, we had all kinds of names, kind of similar and together, but you know, that was really a fun game because at one point Jalen Williams was guarding Jalen Williams.
Oh my gosh, that was perfect. That's Williams on Williams crime.
Yeah, and so that's real. But yeah, a lot of Smiths out there, and you know, it's Chuck does a good job keeping all that in line, and Smith to Smith to Smith. You know,
that's right.
I'm fine with that as long as it's Smith to Smith to Smith, and they shoot a brick, and R. Smith gets the the defensive rebound. How about that?
There you go.
There we go.
Tomorrow at 2:30 on the air with Chuck and Coach Z, 3 o'clock tip with Arkansas and Missouri. Coach, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Matt Zimmerman with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Yeah, I have every game I have brothers or sisters.
Yes.
On every game that I do.
Yes.
And I end up saying full names or the girls team has two sisters.
So you can't do that.
Wrangles and Keita. Yeah.
Like,
so I go full name.
This is a mouthful. This is akin to like when I had a dog named Kirby and I have a daughter named Kinsey and one of them does something. And I call them by the other name. Yeah. I call Kinsey Kirby.
Or you have two stepsons with three letters in their name, and you confuse them. Ian, Kai. Ian.
You. Hey.
Hey.
That one.
You with the hair.
The tiny one. You.
All right. Hey, SEC report on the way, and man, a lot of other stuff. It's quitting time on a weekend. Let's get nuts on Ruskin and Zach after this.
Want to get nuts?
Center of the Razorback universe.
The only radio show Razorback fans need to listen to.
Unbiased and unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruskin and Zach.
Hi, we're back here on Ruskin and Zach. ESPN 99.5 Northwest Arkansas. ESPN Arkansas everywhere else. HitThatLine.com. The band's back together. DQ's in the control room.
For now.
Well, until
one of us decides not to again.
Oh, that was, yeah. Well, we got another snowstorm coming in, apparently. So,
is it a snowstorm or is it just cold?
Well, it's a snowstorm. While it's cold. Yeah. So, I mean.
Two of my least favorite things.
Great, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Darby tweeting out earlier that, you know, if we thought it's cold now, wait. And I know he tells me not to look at these apps, but I do anyway.
Mm.
Even Laura said it was going to be cold, and she never pushes the panic button.
Yeah, yeah. It's I don't like these numbers that I'm seeing on these maps for in the next few days or so. I'm not down with these 13 as a high. Like that's I didn't sign up for that. I'm from Arkansas.
Monday.
I didn't sign up for that.
9.
Yeah.
I moved to the South to get away from this stuff.
That's right.
Hacker says it's snowing in Harrison.
Well, I heard somebody, who was I talking
to? It also could be a drug bust. Be careful.
Who was I talking to? They were talking about talking to my mom, but my aunt was like putting food in the bird feeder. I'm like, the birds aren't here. They're smart. They went south.
Oh, my God. I saw the...
We're the only morons still here when it's this cold.
I was coming to work today, and I was pulling out, and I'm driving down the road, and like I stop, at the stop sign, getting ready to turn left. And there is the single fattest robin I've ever seen. I don't know how this bird gets off the ground. I mean, he's going to have to walk to Florida. There is no chance. Are birds like, if this is an indication of how bad things are going to be, we're dead. All of us.
It's over.
Of course,
some people think birds aren't real, Zach. So, I mean, it could mean an indication of nothing.
You remember those old...
Then why are we feeding
those
them?
Those Nerf, the other question. Like the mid-sized Nerf balls.
Mm-hmm.
They were about this big. That's how big that bird was. I mean, he had no neck. It was amazing.
Nature.
And I was like I'm driving and I wanted to pull up like next to him just to see if he'd walk away. And I mean, I pull up next to him and he's just like, nah. Hey, that bird is not getting off the ground. I know how physics works, but he ain't getting off the ground.
Matt in Aiken, South Carolina points out it is 68 degrees in Aiken, South Carolina.
Matt, I hope you get a scorching
Matt,
case of herpes.
Shut up.
Yeah. Herpes for you, buddy.
Hey, he keeps running around with the women he's been running around in the past.
I'm sure that
that's a safe bet.
That is not his first dance with Simplex 10. I'm absolutely certain of that.
All right. All right, listen up. Let's calm this down here for a minute.
Okay.
Right. We're getting too animated. Let's settle down.
Right.
Later, I got some interesting... I want to talk about this transfer portal stuff a little bit with football. And talk about... I got some numbers. I've done some research on some of this, and I have some conclusions I'm ready to make about the football and the portal and all that stuff.
Okay.
So we're going to do that here in a little bit. We're also talking basketball today. I think Arkansas is one of the four best teams in the SEC. I don't know. I don't think you're ready to sign up for that yet. I'm pulling the trigger today that they're top four in the league. That's what I'm saying. And people are going to say, well, they've gotten happy on the bottom of the league. they've also gotten better at the same time. I think two things are true here. Yes, they have beat up on the bottom of the SEC, but I also think that they have improved since they took the court a month ago and we were bemoaning the lack of the three E's, you know, effort, energy, and enthusiasm. So,
Evan in Fayetteville is texting,
And
he has just completely ruined any fun for all of us. He says, robins are non-migratory, likely in his winter plumage to stay warm. He's not fat. He just had on a big coat. No, this is a big-boned robin.
A big-boned robin.
Yes, there's no question about this.
I knew a girl named Big Bone Robin once. That's another deal. Big Bone Robin, bam-a-lam, Big Bone Robin, bam-a-lam.
Another Milberry moment here on the Wrestling Back Show. Thank you for
reading. Oh, don't worry. She died of diabetes a long time ago. She's not listening. It's all good. We're safe.
I didn't realize robins were non-migratory. I didn't know that. And again, I'm taking Evan in Fayetteville, the guy who sends us, you know, the looks-like stuff, I'm taking his word on this.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure he read it on the internet.
I'm very sure, yeah. Right.
Anyway, go on. You were talking big, transfer portal.
Big bone robin, bam a lam, big bone robin. I now know every day why you say, I don't want to do this today. I now know the answer.
2 minutes before every show starts, I scream at DQ that I don't want to do this today.
That's right. Now I know why.
Yes.
Because you have to sit by me.
Every day.
And everything that I have to say.
Every day.
Would you do... Let's go back magically in our DeLorean to February of 2019.
Okay.
If you knew what you know...
Oh, boy.
Would you have left the trucking industry for this?
I'd have gone on unemployment.
That's what I thought.
Yep. Yeah, I feel... Yeah. Yep.
It could have been me and Spiro. Pretty Boy Radio. That's what we could have been doing here. But, wasn't meant to be.
Eric in Greenwood says he's originally from Illinois, and robins are definitely migratory. So now we've got a show-on-show crime on robins. Are they migratory? Next one to text in with the correct information. Are they or are they not? That's what we're going with. Two out of three.
Let me give everybody a little secret here. Listen closely.
Nobody cares.
How about that? Oh, there you go.
You don't want to know if the fat robin gets... God.
Why do you keep saying fat robin? That is sexist.
I'm talking about the bird.
How dare you?
I'm talking about the bird.
I'm offended by this show.
The bird. The bird. He was chunky. And there ain't no way that bird was getting off the ground. Ever. If he was going south, he was walking.
It's the case of physics, Zach.
That's correct. Heather says her neighbor Robin is gettable.
There you go. Hey.
All right, here's the text that says they're definitely migratory. So, all right. Everybody pay attention. We are going with robins are migratory.
Woo! We're dealing with a lot of stuff here. Robin is gettable, and they're migratory, and they're not migratory, and they're fat and, man, alive.
Mr. Pibb with a public service announcement. Turkeys can fly.
Well, Les Nessman learned that, yeah.
Turkeys cannot fly. They can fly for short distances.
God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly. But
they can't, like, get up. I mean, you're not shooting a turkey out of the air, right?
They're dropping, like, bags of wet cement.
Man.
So anyway, you got Arkansas in the top four in the league or not?
Ryan,
what do you think?
Ryan says Big Bone Robin will be at bottoms up tonight.
She's on the lunch shift.
Here's another one.
Big Bone Robin, bam a lam, Big Bone Robin, bam a lam, bam a lam. Sorry, you cut a check for $20 to Ram Jam for that, if you would, please, since we use that. Thank you. If they're still in business. Is Ram Jam touring? Does anybody know?
We had this argument here yesterday. What's the worst music video you ever saw?
It's pretty bad.
And I'm going to submit the Ram Jam video.
How does a Ram Jam concert go? Because they play Black Betty, and then what?
No, that's it. Then they do the remix, and then they get off stage.
And they play backwards. Right. For all these subliminal messages about Satan.
Oh, God.
How does that work?
Oh, Steve with a good question. Will Ty migrate for a gettable robin? Yes.
Yes. Big bone robin family.
Oh, yeah, here, my God. Text out of the 870 says, robins around here look like little pumpkins. That's exactly what they look like. They look like those Christmas balls that you put on your tea, you know, like the glass ones that you put on your Christmas tree. That's what they all look like. It's the only bird that I've noticed that's gotten all chunky.
Ornaments?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
You didn't say ornament.
What'd he say?
The little glass balls.
Like the little glass balls you put on your Christmas tree.
Go back to what you were doing. You know what I'm talking about. Steve says, Ty will migrate for any solid four.
Big bone robin had a child. Bam a lamb, the damn thing went blind. Bam a lamb. She's so rock steady, and she's always ready. Well,
Heather has apparently done some digging. She says, my neighbor Robin is a mom and hates Ty. Well, we tried.
But that's the only mom that hates Ty, then. Because moms love him, according to him.
The Kraken is asking if you took something before the show.
I'm high on life, man.
Uh-huh.
High on life. Just like James Brown, when he threw the grits in that person's face, I'm high on life, man. That's it.
Smack Daddy down in Greenwood says, we're being way too animated and we need to dial it down.
Hey. Send it in, Jerome! You need to sit down, shut up, all right?
My favorite.
That's a good one.
Oh, gosh.
Here's a text from the 870. I used to date Big Bone Robin. Okay.
You know what? This is the last time I'm ever going to bring up birds.
You birthed this.
I'm not ever going to talk about birds again.
We could have been doing 10 minutes on Arkansas the best four in the SEC?
You tried, and I completely
derailed. A solid four, even, in the SEC.
You tried, I
kept pushing the issue on Big Bone Robin, so we went with the hot hand.
Yeah. My bad. I'm sorry. I would like to apologize to everyone, since that's all I've been doing for the last 24 hours. I want to apologize to everyone.
Big Bone Robin, family, big
yeah, here's a text out of the 479. You guys are ready for the weekend. You have no bleeping idea.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay. Good.
Well, there's the music. Oh, well, I'll be darned. All right, we'll get into the news coming up here in a little bit. Oh, my God. 866.
Can you DoorDash alcohol?
Not yet. But we're working on that.
Just checking.
We're working on that. You know, we're getting to that. But you got to give us some time. We'll get to that eventually.
Let's do this.
We'll do some news when we return. We loved your texts and your calls at 866-285-4005. Is that dramatic enough for you? Pretty good. All right, it's Ruskin and Zach. Hey, have you ever bought wine at a gas station? There's no judgment here. I'm just asking a question.
Okay.
Jerry Jones has done it. So, I mean, you're in good company.
There is a place here in Northwest Arkansas that is a very reputable store that has gas pumps outside.
Okay. I get what you're saying. I think we all know what you're referring to. Well, there was a...
So technically, yes. Would I, if I were in a pinch, yes.
A photo has emerged on social media of Jerry Jones at a local service station buying wine and I guess consoling a Chiefs fan. I guess there was a Chiefs fan there as well, and they were talking a little bit. And there's the photo of Jerry with a bottle of wine and his mask on buying wine. Now, he was buying his wine. His own wine, apparently, at the gas station.
That's a little much.
I think I have that right. I've never been one to jump out without all the facts, as you all know.
I didn't know Jerry Jones had his own wine. When did that become a thing?
Yeah, let's see here. It's on the big lead here. Jones buys his own wine. Jones buys his own wine at a gas station. Jones buys his own wine at a gas station on a Tuesday afternoon. Jones will say hi and let you take a picture of him buying his own wine at a gas station on a Tuesday afternoon. So there you go.
Okay, is that strategic?
The Chiefs, the woman that he met is a Chiefs fan. She's got a Chiefs like toboggan on.
Is that a strategic ploy on his part? Because he knows that
he's got two bottles.
If he's buying his own wine at a gas station, somebody is going to snap a picture of it and put it on social media.
Deep cuts. He's figured out this social media thing, huh?
Yes. Was it in a box, Scott?
No, no, it's a bottle. It's bottles. He's got two bottles, one in each hand. I can't tell.
Yes, you can.
No, I really can't. I got to blow this thing up here and see. Well, you know, the whole vision question today. They're twist off. So, boy, that's not good.
Twist off. Look, the difference between like corked wines and twist off wines. Twist off wines are there. They have one purpose.
We're two clicks away from a wine from a can. I mean, this is not.
They have wine in a can.
I know, but Jerry's wine in a can. I mean,
is that what it's called?
No, I don't know what it's called.
Mm. Here's people now guessing our password. Patrick Swayze.
He's dead, by the way.
Yeah. Zach
Hill. Along with Big Bone Robin.
This is a good one. Texas, this is out of the 870. Mr. Zach Hill. That's funny.
Mr. Zach Hill.
Wait for it. Mm. Everybody getting it?
No.
Faith Hill?
Oh!
That's funny.
There it is.
That's funny.
There it is. Yeah. That's right. You could have been a power broker in the country music industry, but...
That would piss somebody off.
You didn't go into the room.
I didn't.
You didn't go in the room,
man. I did not.
You didn't do it.
I did not. I did not. Here's somebody that says the woman with the Chiefs hat has a beard. Is that true?
Wait a minute. Okay, that may be a man. Well, listen. Here's what I'm looking at, Zach. And we've gone over this vision. I think that is a man. He has breasts, though. So how am I supposed to know? I'm serious. He does.
I have not looked.
He needs a reduction. God almighty, man. How do you walk around with those things?
I have not looked at this. Hang on. Oh, my God. Really?
Long hair down below the shoulders.
Dude, that's
and breasts. I thought it was a woman. I'm sorry.
That is most definitely 100% a man.
Is that a guy?
Yes.
Well, he's a D cup then. That's a guy. I'm telling you right now. That is a guy that's a D cup. He is! Look at him! Look at it! No. That might be Big Boned Robin. Maybe he or she came back to life.
Oh, my God. There is no question that's a man.
Okay. Well, I told you my eyes were going, and now this would confirm that, huh?
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. He's from Denton, Texas, apparently.
I have a theory about how to rectify all this.
Good.
I'm going to just walk around with a magnifying glass, and anything I can't read or see, I'm just going to get that magnifying glass out, like Sherlock Holmes style. I hope this is as funny out there as it is in here, because that's pretty good. Alrighty. We will return. You want to do sports next?
Or we can continue trying to guess our Twitter password. Your call next.
Or guess the gender of the person with Jerry Jones buying gas station wine. Oh, God forgive me. We'll be back. It's Rusk, I think. It's Ruskin and Zach.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
All right, it is Tuesday here on Ruskin and Zach, and we decided it's been a minute.
Freaking cold, man.
Yeah, it's been a minute, and weather is the top story, so we're going to our meteorologist, chief meteorologist Darby Bybee from 4029 is with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Darby, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing good. So what is this? Why is it
so damn cold, right, Darby? Yes. Why is it so damn cold?
Well, first off, if you think it's cold right now, you are in for a very rude awakening. It could get a lot colder than this. And we're still a little bit uncertain exactly how low temperatures could go over the next 7 to 10 days. But what we know right now is that it is going to be one of the longest stretches of cold air we've seen in many years. You know, as to whether it could come with any, you know, significant snow or not, that's not particularly clear right now. When you get this much cold air, you've got a lot of dry air, too. So that obviously fights the snow away a little bit, but there will be chances. And you guys wanted to talk about the polar vortex, is that right?
Yes. What is a polar vortex, and why is it ruining my life?
Well, again, just wait. Buddy, you ain't seen nothing yet.
That's right.
Yeah. So here's the polar vortex is kind of misunderstood by a lot of people. The polar vortex that really matters, that we as meteorologists and scientists that research it are really looking at, is actually up in the stratosphere. It's way, way, way up in the atmosphere. In a part of the atmosphere that usually doesn't have much interaction with us down here at the surface. And all it is, it's a giant pile of cold air. And it's kind of floating around the North Pole most of the year. I just said power off. One second.
You're all good.
Okay. So, especially in the summer, it's just hanging out up there. It's not doing anything. Occasionally, what will happen is you'll get what we call a stratospheric warming event. It doesn't happen every winter, but every other winter, you know, something like that. And as you warm up the stratosphere, it actually helps to shove the other pseudo-polar vortex that's closer to the globe that we're actually all much more familiar with. And that's also just a bunch of cold air circulating in the North Pole. Apart more frequently. When you have a stratospheric warming event, the bottom line is this. It forces the cold air closer to the surface south. And, you know, throughout the winter, we get a little bit of that here and there, and that just kind of happens. This shoves it way far south, and it really pushes the core of the coldest air after one of these stratospheric warming events. It's the core of that cold air, which is what's usually what most people are going to know as the polar vortex, and it's what we would call the tropospheric polar vortex. I don't want to get into it too much, but it just forces a lot of cold air south. Now, look, this happened earlier in the winter, and all that cold air actually got shoved over Europe and Siberia, and we didn't really get much of it. Well, in the second one that's occurred, it's shoved that colder air straight over the continental, well, over North America. And into the continental U.S. And we've still only seen a very small portion of this cold air. And it's not entirely clear how much of it is really going to filter into our area between now and just over the next 2 weeks. But at some point, a decent dose of that should really start pushing into our area. We're getting just a small piece right now. We could get a bigger piece of that cold air as time goes on.
Darby, what do you define as cold? I think if you're below 30.
30?
Like, yeah.
I think 35.
Right? It's all 35? Relative.
Okay.
35. 30, yes. It's all relative to all of them. You know, I kind of think of it like, you know, Crocodile Dundee, you know, up in Minnesota. He's looking down here at Arkansas and saying, that's not cold. I can't do an Australian accent. That's what I'm saying.
It's a great effort, though.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's horrible. But I can do Irish. But not Australian.
Doesn't anyway, really work for Crocodile Dundee, though.
No, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do any good. But yeah, I mean, I consider this cold. You know, I'm with you guys. This is cold. It's just that when you're a meteorologist, you know two things. You know that there's much colder air elsewhere. And so for me, it's all relative. You know, it's cold outside. It's cold. I know that it's so much colder farther north. So that's part of it as a meteorologist. You're just going to get that with every meteorologist. But the other thing is, I also know there's potential for a lot colder air to come on down. And so that's why I say it's all relative more than anything else, because even though it is chilly out there right now, there's potential for below zero numbers at some point over the next 2 weeks. We may never get that cold. We may. A lot of it depends on, again, just how much more of this cold air comes down. Also depends on whether we get a snowpack. If we never get a snowpack,
it's kind of hard to drop temperatures below zero. That snowpack really helps, solidify that cold air.
I didn't know that.
In the early morning.
I would have thought the snowpack made it colder, but no, I didn't know that. That's good information.
It does. The snowpack does. That's what I'm saying. On a clear night, if you've got a lot of cold air around, if you've got like a foot of snow on the ground, you might drop to 15, 20 below. Without that foot of snow, if there's nothing on the ground, it's more like zero or five. Ooh. So it has a huge impact on how cold, and then how cold it stays. It basically makes the whole area refrigerated. And that's kind of what you can think about the polar vortex. You can think about all this, the stratospheric warming event, it pushed a bunch of cold air south. That cold air, you can think of it as a refrigerator. So it's been pushed. That refrigerator has gotten shoved way down the south. It's actually now kind of away from its power source. You kind of unplug the refrigerator, but it's open. So all that cold air is coming out of the refrigerator. With time, eventually it'll moderate a little bit because it's kind of away from its coldest, the coldest air near the poles. But it's going to take a long time to moderate. I'm telling you guys, I'm looking at models here. That say we don't get the parts of Northwest Arkansas don't get back above freezing until next Saturday. Yeah, and I don't know if that's going to be that seems a little bit unrealistic still, but it will be one of the longest stretches of cold air we've seen in quite a long time.
I know every time we do this, you tell me not to look at the weather app, but I saw the number one, and there was not an accompanying number. I would like to blame you for this, or I would like to buy a digit, because this is unacceptable. How much hate mail are you getting right now? Forecast. I mean, say it's going to be 80 degrees, please. Just make us all feel better.
I think you would both be very surprised the number of people out there that actually enjoy cold weather.
These people need to be put down because this is not okay.
Shocking.
Well, look, spring's not that far away. You know, it's not that far away. You know, imagine this coming in December. You know, I mean, it could be worse. It could be worse.
We're talking with Darby Bybee from 4029 here on Ruskin and Zach. I want to clarify these weather apps that Zach was talking about, because I'm curious this is not a forecast put out by a human, right? Are they just taking like computer data and throwing it in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and that's why it changes. Somebody was reaching out to me on social media about the Weather Channel was forecasting 5 to 10 inches of snow this last Monday, and it was like 6 days out. This is almost a week and a half ago. We should have 5 to 10 inches of snow on the ground right now if you just follow the Weather Channel app. You know, they're computer models.
They're pretty faces. That's all they are. They're pretty faces. That's all they
are. There's no forecaster behind it for the most part.
Well, but the thing is what you and the others here and the television meteorologists do, and the Weather Service, I believe, as well, is you take all of the data and then formulate somehow your forecast for what it is. You're not just running the computer numbers up on the screen like our apps are.
Yeah, if you did that, look, we ain't perfect. None of us are perfect, but we are able to assemble all that data and actually make sense of it. If you just let a computer model spit out your numbers, I hope you're not actually interested in an accurate forecast because you're not going to get one. But it takes more than the model. It takes our basic understanding of the science, our experience, and it takes time. It takes patience. Look, I'd love to be able to sit here and tell you, well, it'll snow on this day this much, and we'll get this much ice that day, and then it'll warm back up to this temperature. You know, especially in situations like this where the core of that incredible amount of cold air is just to your north, and the change in temperature over space is like, 60 to 80 degrees, over a certain distance over the central United States. That's not something, you're kind of taking it day by day at that point.
I know you won't say it, but I'll say it. Cantori's a chump, right? I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a TV guy. I mean, all he is now, I mean, he's a caricature of a meteorologist. No, I get it. That's fine. You won't say it, I will.
No, I am sure he's... I've never met the guy. I don't actually know anything about him, but I'm sure he's a real meteorologist.
Can you tell the temperature by counting cricket chirps?
Actually, there is truth to that, I believe.
What?
I believe, and I'm not sure if it's the cricket, there is an insect that you can count the number, and it's not foolproof, it's not perfect, but I think there might be, I'd have to look it up and do some research, but I think there might actually be some truth to that.
Why does it smell different when it's raining?
I think a lot of what you're smelling might be iron. Or some sort of. Did you ever get that smell? It kind of smells like that.
I can't smell anything.
He's lucky to be smelling.
I can't smell anything right now, Darby.
Right.
So I would love to smell a rainstorm.
So how are you guys doing? Are you doing okay? I've been worried about you, honestly.
Yeah, we're hanging in there. We're doing good.
Yeah, we're doing
hanging
good.
In there as best we can.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird though.
Yeah, not being able to smell anything. I was thinking about this. I tell you what, guys. I don't want to get COVID, but when I'm changing diapers,
it's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
When I walk into the men's room,
mm-hmm.
That's another spot. I mean, it has to have some advantages. Hopefully, it comes back eventually.
Just for clarification's sake, when you say you're changing diapers, yours or your child?
my son. He eats like a monster, like a gremlin. He eats. Everything. And so I'm not going to go into details here, but if you eat that much, well, it's eventually going
to
come out.
When my daughter was little, we used to call that working up a number six. working up a number six.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a two. And it's a three or a four.
No, that's way number
up
six.
Way up there.
Oh,
geez. Darby Bybee's with us from 4029 Weather. Cold weather is fine. It's when it's cold and cloudy, and it's just so dadgum depressing out there looking. Darby, or when will we see the sun again?
That's another thing. because we're on the edge of this cold air, it's going to take time. Now, further north, where the air is much drier at the moment, farther up in the atmosphere, you've had plenty of sunshine. It's still only warm to about 7 below 0, and you cool down to 20 below at night, much farther north. I mean, it's been the single digits in Kansas City. You know, that cold air is really close. But we are still on the edge of right now. I think, once we get the system that could come in Saturday into Sunday, kind of move out of here, then we'd have our best chance of sun. It could happen again Friday, maybe Friday we get a little bit, but when you're on the edge of this cold air the way we are, there's just enough moisture further up in the atmosphere, even though the lower atmosphere still, could dry out from time to time, but atmosphere above us is still a little bit moist, so you still have a little bit of that.
If Arkansas shoots 29%, can we blame it on a polar vortex? I mean, is that fair? It's like a jet stream, right?
They better not. Look, this is, as well as I do, this is the best opportunity they've had to be Kentucky in, years, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. If Moses goes 1 for 11, it's your fault. It's 2021, man. We got to blame somebody.
That's right. Someone's got
to. Someone has to take.
Don't give anyone my number.
No.
People can already reach me on social media, and trust me, they do.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you hear all about it. Darby, I was looking at some stuff earlier. It looks like a pretty significant shot at an ice storm in northeast Arkansas over the next couple of days.
That's an interesting system. We'll get some of that ice and sleet in northwest Arkansas. The good news for us is that we've got a decent amount of dry air in place, and so that's fighting things too much. Roads could get slick tonight into tomorrow, on into Thursday. The heaviest precipitation with that system will be farther south. Now, they still got to cool down. We're already below freezing here, but they haven't quite made it there yet in central or northeast Arkansas. They will. And so I'm looking at models here, and I'm looking at different things. They're definitely saying Little Rock over to Searcy, over to Memphis. That area in particular, particularly between Little Rock and Memphis, could get, that might be an area where you are starting to get more concerned about power outages, because you're going to have a lot more moisture to work with. Here, it's going to be a problem with the roads. And what's interesting is if there is enough accumulate on certain things, it could be there for like
10 days.
Ooh.
We could be there for a long time.
I like the way you said that. I could be there for 10 days.
Yeah. Well, and that's...
Yeah, it could be. Luckily, but that's the good news is for us, again, it's not, we don't have as much moisture to work with here. And so you're, you know, that would be a big problem if it were causing power outages. You're out of power, like back in 2009, you're out of power for, you know, weeks, and it's cold as, you know, all get out. But a bigger, could be a bigger problem power outage-wise for the south and east.
How much time do you spend a day looking at models and developing your forecast? Because it seems, I'm just taking a guess here. You spend the majority of your day doing this, yet you've still managed to get married and have a child. And this is just mind-boggling to me.
Right, yeah. I spend, I don't know how
your
many.
Your wife's a patient woman.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, she is. And she's the greatest thing in my life, her and my son. But and she does regularly remind me that I need to step away from the model data. I mean, the sensor, and she does remind me of that, and I very much appreciate that.
I can't tell you the number of times I've been on Weather Hub and been told, hey, it's time to step away.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we all have, you know, different things.
She ever look at you and like, I didn't sign up for this?
Yeah, well, yes. I do find that occasionally she may regret that decision. To say yes, but you know I've got some redeeming qualities, not many, but I've got a few.
It's those times when you're working for like 15 hours because of severe weather, right? And you roll in at like 3 a.m.
Oh, dude, yeah, but you know she understands. I mean, I think everybody understands when it comes to that. It, you know, that it's not like with winter weather. You know, you just look. I mean, you can look outside. All right, well. They said it was going to ice, and now there it is. I guess got to be careful on the way to work or whatever. But with tornadoes, you know, we know maybe a couple days in advance there's a possibility, and we even know a few hours in advance that, you know, certain areas will have a better chance. But we can't tell exactly where a tornado is going to drop until the storm's formed. And so everything, all the information comes in faster, and the decisions that have to be made have to happen, you know, on a dime. Everybody I think understands how much more important that is.
So like if you make a forecast, so let's just say, you know, you go out on a limb, you're the only one saying it's going to rain between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and all of a sudden it starts raining. Do you like jump out of bed and it's like, yes, yes. And she just kind of look at you like, go back to bed, dummy.
Not with rain. With rain, it's like, well, you know, people, but with ice and snow, because that's a lot rarer, mm-hmm. You know. It doesn't happen as often, and so it's much, 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 much harder to forecast for. It's not even close. And so, yeah, when the forecast is, you know, right on the money or really close with ice and snow or certain things like that, I will stay up at night and I'll celebrate. Now I'll do so silently. Because if I wake her up, then she'll be, you know, or anybody else, the baby. Oof, God.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's right.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I have celebrated, punched the air, and whispered loudly late at night many times.
There you go. All right, you can watch Darby coming up here on 4029 News tonight here in. Get the very latest on all this stuff with because it's hard to do on the radio and television. You've got all the graphics and everything, so you can explain everything. We appreciate it, Darby. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you, and I hope you guys feel better soon. Thanks,
thank you man. Very much. Darby Bybee.
Yep. Ruining his
Chief
career.
Meteorologist, 4029. Yeah, maybe he won't get flack for appearing on our show like some others have from that fine organization.
Good to know he celebrates.
That's right, yeah. Silently.
Silently.
All right. We are about half hour till basketball.
Woo!
Or at least the pregame show. So we'll probably talk about basketball next. Maybe. I don't know. Ruskin and Zach.